Welcome to Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are its traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. Please get notebook, paper, and pen to take notes during the show. First, as is always, I look at some debt-related news and facts for the week. From John Leland, swindlers find growing market in foreclosure. As home values across the country continue to plummet, the authorities say a new breed of swindler is preying on tens of thousands of homeowners desperate to avoid foreclosure. Until recently, defrauders tried to bilk homeowners out of the equity in their homes. Now, with that equity often dried up, they are presenting themselves as foreclosure rescue companies that charge upfront fees to modify loans, but often do nothing to stave off foreclosure. The Federal Trade Commission brought lawsuits last year against five companies representing 20,000 customers, and state and local prosecutors have brought dozens more. In Florida, Attorney General Bill McCollum recently sued a company that he said had more than 600 victims. Quote from McCollum, "There's no way for the consumer to sort out the legitimate companies." He added that he had limited resources to fight what he called a sheer volume question. The companies under suspicion typically charge an upfront fee of up to $3,000 to help borrowers get lower rates on their mortgages from their lenders. But borrowers often cannot afford the fees, the service can be bogus, and in the worst cases, the homeowners lose their chance to renegotiate with their bank or to file for bankruptcy protection because of the wasted time. There are companies that provide legitimate foreclosure services, but the industry is largely unregulated, making it difficult for homeowners to separate the good from the bad. Some of the fraudulent companies, often run by former real estate agents or mortgage brokers, are local. Others are national. Many have official-looking websites that suggest that the companies have government affiliations and give homeowners a false sense of security. "That's all I've been doing for the last year," said Angela Rosenau, a deputy attorney general in California, citing more than 300 complaints about fraudulent companies last year, not counting those made to local prosecutors. Experiences like those of Maria Martinez, a Stockton, California, are playing out with greater frequency across the country, the authorities say. Ms. Martinez struggled to pay her mortgage last summer. She had no shortage of people offering to help. Flyers for rescue companies filled her mailbox. At a seminar for troubled borrowers near her home, one company offered a service that promised just what Ms. Martinez needed. For $1,000, the company said it would negotiate with their mortgage company to lower her interest rate. "I was desperate," said Ms. Martinez, a 57-year-old clerk at a San Joaquin County jail. She made an initial payment of $500 and paid another $500 a few weeks later. Now, the house is in foreclosure and Ms. Martinez is waiting for the sheriff to evict her. She cannot reach the man she paid to modify her loan. In California and 20 other states, including New York, companies are prohibited from collecting payment until they have completed their services, something Ms. Martinez did not know. In Colorado, the Attorney General's office has closed 15 mortgage rescue companies that charged upfront fees. Karen McClelland, 46, fell into foreclosure on her Chicago home when she lost her job as a waitress in two restaurants. She received a call from a company called Foreclosure Solution Experts, promising to stop the foreclosure and lower her mortgage payments to around $550 a month from $1,056. The charge for the service was $1,300, which Ms. McClellan paid in installments, borrowing the money from friends and relatives. When the loan servicer notified her that her house was still in foreclosure, Ms. McClellan said the representative from Foreclosure Solutions Experts told her that the matter had been taken care of. Ms. McClellan said, "She told me everything was all settled. I don't have to worry about anything. All I had to worry about was getting the rest of the money to her." According to a suit brought by the Illinois Attorney General in November, Foreclosure Solution Experts does little or nothing to help consumers, and when it does take action, the result is often a repayment plan unsuited to the borrower's ability to pay. The suit alleges that the company never contacted Ms. McClellan's lender, HSBC. Illinois is one of the states that bans upfront payments to foreclosure rescue companies. The Attorney General's office has received thousands of complaints about such companies, and Michelle Garcia, an assistant attorney general, said that a lawsuit against Foreclosure Solutions Experts is one of 22 filed by the state. Stacy Strong, who runs Foreclosure Solutions Experts, did not return calls for comment. Advocates say foreclosure rescue scams are particularly insidious because they prey on people's desperation and because they victimize those who can least afford it. Borrowers seeking loan modification are often frustrated that they cannot reach the right people at their lender or that the lender insists on a repayment plan they cannot keep, said Ivor Reingold, executive director of the National Association of Consumer Advocates. Quote, "When you're desperate, that's when the crooks come out. You've tried everything and a guy calls you up on the phone or there's an ad on TV and you have no other options. What do? You go to those guys. People probably know in their heart of hearts that they may be getting ripped off, just like most people understand on their mortgages that they were getting in too deep. But bankers said yes, so it must be okay. It's the same thing. The real problem is that we continue to fail to have systems in place that help people." Ms. Rosenow, the California prosecutor, said that even when she told people that they had been swindled, they don't believe it because they want it not to be true. "Any money they had to possibly work with, the lender is now gone to the scam," she said. In Baltimore, where neighborhoods have been buffeted by successive waves of mortgage scams, Ann Norton, the director of foreclosure prevention at the nonprofit St. Ambrose Housing Aid Center, said companies promising loan modifications started to multiply last summer. Quote, "It's the same people that joined the industry during the refinance boom, and now they're making fees for submitting loan remediation forms," said Ms. Norton, whose agency provides free help to borrowers. Although Maryland was among the first states to enact legislation defining mortgage rescue fraud, Ms. Norton said, "It's a growing industry and it's under the radar." Often the scammers represent themselves as having connections to the government groups or copy the name and typography of Hope Now Program, an alliance of nonprofit government and lending agencies, said Marietta Rodriguez, director of National Home Ownership Programs at Neighborhood Works America, a nonprofit group that provides free government-certified foreclosure counseling through 235 local organizations. Several took the Hope Now website and just reskinned it with their own information, or they use government seals, Ms. Rodriguez said. "They're very crafty, and their marketing strategies are aggressive." Peggy L. Tuhig, associate director of the Financial Practices Division of the Federal Trade Commission, said consumers should be wary of companies that promise results, charge upfront fees, or tell them not to contact their lender on their own. Ms. Tuhig said consumers could get the same help free from nonprofit housing counselors. Quote, "Our advice to consumers is to contact their loan servicers directly or to call Hope Now or HUD-approved housing counselors." If you are just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Now for the second part of the show, I'd like to continue by giving you some practical advice on how to deal with your debt and financial situation. This segment of the show, I give an important credit because the thoughts, ideas, and examples used in these programs are directly from or based on the work, theories, and books of Professor Elizabeth Warren from Harvard and her daughter Amelia Warren Tyagi, two of America's leading champions for debtors. I recommend their books highly, All Your Worth and The Two Income Trap. It's also useful to go to the archives at www.kruufm.com, the archives for life and debt, and you can listen to all of the former shows upon which each show basically is built. At this point in the show, I will review what I did last week, and the former shows are just filled with knowledge from Professor Warren on how to cope with your debt and your financial situation. And a lot of it's integrated, so it'd be good to go there and get some of that information or to go directly to the book, particularly All Your Worth. To review what I discussed last week, I was talking about money and love and really having these two kinds of experiences side by side, and particularly in a relationship, and that relationship with your mate, your spouse, or whoever is your financially connected person in your life, particularly those of you who live together, you may love each other and you feel committed to each other. For those who are married by many of the Western standards, you took vows for richer or for poorer and are sharing homes and expenses and debts, and you are building for your future. Through this course, you have dealt with some money problems that we've discussed, and you both need to fix your money problems together, as we've discussed in the past. And yet, even though this is the standard way to approach dealing with debt, sometimes that doesn't happen, that you may not be in agreement on all your financial decisions. And even though that's perfectly reasonable that you and your mate should be in agreement on money, there does come the reality that oftentimes you're not. And you're a normal couple with normal disagreements. And nowadays, disagreeing about money is a very large component of a relationship. And you may be getting along most of the time on all kinds of other issues, and yet there are conflicts over money. And those conflicts, unfortunately, in my practice, in bankruptcy practice, often lead to breakups in relationships because the stress level goes way up. And of course, there are divorces. Even this morning, I got an unexpected email from a client saying, guess what? We're decided to get divorced. How's that going to impact on our bankruptcy? But hopefully you're not there, you're way before that kind of stress level, and yet you don't really have a perfect financial, emotional, combined relationship. In other words, the love and the finances somehow seem to be at odds with each other. And financial experts don't really offer that much help. They sometimes tell you to get marriage counseling as if you can actually afford it. But you often can feel hopeless until you believe you can reform your mate. It's often the other person's problem that this has happened, at least in our mind. And it's real that every couple generally disagrees over money, and we wrangle about money. There are very, very many individual issues that come up every single day related to money in a relationship. Even people who love each other are very much bound to disagree on some choices, some of the time, if not a lot of choices, a lot of the time. So your money choices and the conflicts that surround them are probably coming into sharp focus right now, particularly in the climate that is around us with the economy. You are in the midst of balancing your money, making lots and lots of new choices if you've been listening to this course, and that means that there are plenty of new opportunities for actually conflict. But it also means that you have a choice to do something better in dealing with money in your life and in your relationship. And if you can do something to improve your money partnership, then you can have a much stronger relationship. And every single day, reaching compromises that work for both of you will help to make your relationship stronger and better, and the love to overflow into the financial area, which is actually quite an interesting goal that somehow seems to evade many people's lives. So what we say is that you need to take steps to improve your money relationship, and you need to do it right here, right now. And it doesn't have to be to the divorce level of screaming fights, out of balance spending, and worry over money that drives a wedge between you and your partner. But actually, even people who are relatively low-key about this and feel like they're working things out, there's always room to improve. But if you do have a really bad relationship over money, then working out a lifetime plan is going to pay big time dividends for you. And it's going to be something that once your money is in balance, you have a chance to put your relationship on a much stronger footing. If you can get better on money, you can get better with each other. And that's really what this course has been all about, is helping you to improve your money understanding and vision in dealing with your financial circumstances, both currently and for the future. So as Professor Warren says, wherever your relationship is now, getting straight on money will go a long way toward making it better. Agreeing on a basic plan that you can live with will take a lot of pressure off your relationship. But most important of all, when you have some financial peace, you can focus on the things in your life that really matter, including love and laughter you share with each other. So Professor Warren is a very humanistic person, very much concerned about human relationships and the way people deal with each other. And money is just one facet in the diamond that we hold in our life relationship. And last week, I gave in a very general way the three areas that you need to look at, the three keys when you're working with a partner, particularly a partner who refuses to change, because that's often the major issue here, is that you see something going on and you're wanting and willing to change, and yet your partner doesn't really feel much interest, energy, or is in denial about the whole thing. You need to do something yourself. So the three points were: change what you can, no nagging, and stick to the subject in your conversations. And I gave those as general points, but now I'll discuss them more specifically. If you're just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. So the first main point, change what you can. This is because you're needing to do it yourself, because your partner really isn't jumping into the game. That's an important reality, and so you have to face it. And you have to do what you can. Professor Warren gives the old serenity prayer: God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So you make a promise to yourself and you take on the principle, I will change the things I can. That sounds reasonable, but it means not just this intellectual approach, it's an action point. You take action on anything and everything you possibly can. For example, we talked about reshopping the insurance, taking the credit cards out of your wallet and using cash, start building your security fund. The innumerable things, I think, right now that we've discussed in the other shows, you can do these things yourself. You sign up for the retirement plan at your job. You can do things that make everything a little bit better from your side. You make a promise to improve things as much as you can, all by yourself. You can make any kind of significant improvements on your own. It would be easier if your mate, your spouse, came along, but this isn't always about easier. It's about achieving better. And you can't wait for your mate to be perfect. Fix the things you can right here, right now. And it's a very, very sound, important principle. Now, of course, this does not put your partner off the hook, but it has to start somewhere that the situation is improving. So you do it at the beginning all by yourself. And in fact, this can be inspiring, and someone who loves you and sees you going through these things you can bring them up, as we'll discuss, in a very proper, genteel way, in an appropriate way, and you will see that people who love each other really can be pulled ahead with each other if one person is taking it for a while on the chin and doing it in an appropriate way. The other person will eventually wise up and deal with it. And that will actually be in the context of you having a better financial picture if you're taking out the poison from the past financial situation that was created from you, from the other person, or both of you together. It doesn't matter. But as some of it goes away, you will be taking charge of the situation, and it will be more comfortable. And as a result, there will be progress, and that progress will lighten some of the stress in the relationship, and then you will see an improvement in that relationship and in the financial reality that, in a sense, will be inspiring to the other person. So at the beginning, we say, just do it. Just do it. You make the changes. But with this, the second main point is no nagging. And that's tough. It's the second key, but it's tougher than the first, because you can't be nagging, you can't be bitter, you can't be complaining. And it's hard. You look at what somebody does in terms of spending, and you say to them, or at least to yourself, you spend how much? When are you going to get those blah, blah, blah quotes that I asked you to get? These words are in your head, and they're coming from your lips. And basically, it's something that creates a conflict. It brings it out to a head, and it is something you need to stop. I know that's hard to accept, but you have to stop it. And the question is, why should I be stopping this? Aren't I teaching my partner something? Well, the truth is, no. They're not listening. The main principle on teaching is receptivity. And the point is, you may be saying it, but they're not hearing it anyway. And in fact, the emotion that's coming at them is going to, in fact, close them off more. They're going to be less receptive. And in the short and long run, this kind of principle doesn't work. You can't nag someone into a meaningful change. And that is a total reality. My wife, who is an LISW, a social worker, will tell me that all the time. And it is a habit that people get into, and it's very, very dysfunctional and not helpful in a relationship. It will, in fact, go towards creating a wedge in the relationship. So that's a hard thing to do, to stop nagging, to stop complaining, to stop putting one's attention on the negative things to try to heal them, but rather to put one's attention on the positive things that we've discussed in this course and making the changes, and then those benefits will be something that will reduce the stress, will improve the economic situation, and in a truly loving relationship will help to heal the entire relationship. Just remember, as Professor Warren says, you can't complain your way into a happier relationship. This is what is the truth about life, that it's not going to make life better by complaining about these things. You may say to yourself, but it isn't fair. Well, in a way, you're right. It is not fair. You're working harder than your mate. But that's not really the issue here. Professor Warren brings up a very sweet point from my point of view. She says that every time the reality dawns that something really truly isn't fair, it really is your partner's debt or something happened, it doesn't really matter what the cause is, but every time this it ain't fair monster pops into your brain, you have to stop and pause and think of something you love about your partner. Now, that's an amazing thing, because it really does shift your attention from what is highly negative and explosive, even though it's true, if you put your attention on what is really good about the relationship, what you really love about that other person, you're going to generate an opportunity and some energy for yourself to continue on to improve the circumstances, which will eventually heal the relationship from the economic point of view, that is. So just think, you know, is this person funny? Do they work really hard around the house to fix things? Do they take care of you when you're sick? Do they take care of your children? Do they hold your hands when you watch TV? Whatever it is, picture that wonderful moment and hold it in your mind. Those valuable traits that this person has, and stick with it, because those will be the things that reduce and eliminate that negative thinking in your head. Because in the final analysis, a deep and intimate relationship isn't about what's fair. It's about what's good, it's about what's bad, and it's about what works. Money is just one part of your relationship, and you may be better at dealing with money than your partner. But your partner may be better in dealing with fixing up the house or taking care of the kids, as I said. And if you try to keep everything fair on every issue, then you're aiming for perfection, which you will never succeed. The world is one of imbalance, and it's not about perfecting it on the level of the relative life around you. It's about making your relationship happier, more productive, more healthy, and less filled with complaints. And so what you want to do is make sure that you don't nag. And the third main point is stick to the subject when you are having a conversation with your partner about the finances. Does that mean that getting your partner to change is impossible? No, that's not what we're talking about here. You want to make those subtle changes, but you don't have these conversations that are just overwhelming. One of those giant, it's time to talk about money conversations. Yeah, we know that there are a lot of times when you just need to talk about these things, but it can't be so large and massive and overwhelming that there will be just a quarrel, a tendency that you may have in your relationship to bicker over money is going to land up in a quarrel and a wedge. And so no nagging, no complaints. But even without those, there's a feeling of pressure that you may be putting on the other person. So that results in a battle, and it's because of the giant abstract issue. So you're not wanting to do that at all. So the theme here is to just break it down to small things, stick to the subject, be modest about the attempted change that needs to be made, not just this giant we need to deal about our budget that's falling apart and money. Be specific. Talk about something concrete. Good deal on car insurance. What do you think about that? I shifted from credit cards to cash, and it's working pretty well. Well, what do you think about that? I can stop at the ATM for both of us. Does that work for you? Present a simple, straightforward suggestion, preferably one that has a relatively easy answer. Keeping it positive, it's an invitation to something constructive, which is a lot more likely to produce a good result than these battle-inducing bombs that you're throwing at the other person. What we do is we stay away from all-or-nothing territory, and very few moments in a relationship really are about complete reversal of what's going on. The change will come a little at a time. We don't demand complete instantaneous reform, and we just take one piece at a time. You've gained a lot of knowledge from this course, and so you know a lot, but you just take a little piece of it at the time and share it with your partner. Something that they can do, something that's not threatening, and a lot of little changes will get your partner to do what is useful to your financial relationship. And when you add them all up, these little changes can add up to big bucks, and more importantly, the love in your total life can overflow to even the financial area, which will be really a eureka moment for both of you. We'll continue next week to help ourselves through this financial battle. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life in Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous debt manageable life.